Welcome back to the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your host, Kyle Ireland, back for another edition of the podcast where we talk about the NFL and the local players from the state of Utah who are now playing in the National Football League. Happy to be back on the podcast and excited for this edition of the podcast because I have on this week our BYU insider from KSLSports.com. He's the one and only Mitch Harper. Mitch joined me this week on his way up to the Utah State BYU football game as the BYU Cougars took down the Aggies in the battle for the old wagon wheel. Mitch broke down with me not only the guys from BYU, but there's a little Raider action as well because the Las Vegas Raiders are our home team, I guess we'll say, for the state of Utah that the state has adopted here. Closest NFL team now to the state of Utah is the Las Vegas Raiders, and they are off to a hot start this season. So we got Mitch's opinion on his silver and black, the team that he cheers and roots for. So here's my conversation with Mitch Harper on the local guys in the NFL from BYU.
Welcome back to the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com. He's the one and only BYU insider that we've got here at KSLSports.com, and I felt like I needed to have him on because there's a lot of BYU stuff going on in the NFL right now. He's the one and only Mitch Harper. He's actually on his way to the BYU football game right now. He's stuck in traffic, if I'm not mistaken, heading on up to Logan to see BYU, the 4-0 BYU Cougars take on the Aggies. Mitch, are you going to make it before kickoff?
Yeah, I'll make it before kickoff. We'll make it. We're with the news radio producer, Dallin Graff. We're on our way to the game. Just the traffic is a little more difficult up here in the north. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't usually pass the refineries. Dallin and I were talking about that. It's like, we don't go past this often. It's a little bit different up here in the up north. So, yeah, we'll make it up.
Don't go past the refineries. My gosh.
Yes, I love it. We'll be ready to go for BYU and Utah State coverage on KSL Sports. But yeah, a little bit tighter than what I'm used to, but it's fine. Like what's funny is like I was like bowling over Dallin said, what should I pick you up? And I'm like, I don't want to be a jerk and be like noon or like one. I don't know. But at the same time, like we'll make it. It's fine. Like it's the Mav. Like I don't need a Bahama Mama. Like early, you know, I'll be fine. Like we can leave at 3:30, and well, traffic is a little bit more rougher than expected. But hey, we're here, we're talking now. Get a little Zach Wilson talk in. I'm here with you, Kyle. So let's do this thing.
Yeah, I wanted to talk with you about Zach Wilson because he's got the Jets now, who are just bad. I mean, we knew they were bad, Mitch, before they drafted him, and there was a lot of talk, you know, between you and I, Matt, Diamante, Dallin. You know, we've all talked about best landing spots for Zach for a year or so now. But my gosh, it's crazy what's happened through the first 3 weeks of the NFL season. I didn't realize how bad that offensive line was. I thought that they were going to be better than they were, but Zach has been more pressured than any other NFL quarterback through the first 3 weeks of the season. And I'm getting to the point, Mitch, where you've seen the last 2 weeks, especially how bad they've been. I mean, he had a couple of touchdown throws against Carolina in week one, which was nice to see. But these last two performances, his teammates have not done him any favors. His line's not blocking for him. His receivers are dropping balls. I'm starting to get to the point where are we going to, like, talk about Zach being able to make it through a season? Because he's not getting protection from his teammates.
Yeah, he's not getting any help. And it's a difficult situation for Zach to be in. I honestly thought, Kyle, that Zach Wilson and the Jets would be a successful deal in year one. I did. I thought that what I was seeing in training camp and all the reports that were coming out of Gotham, you just thought that it's going to work out and maybe they could carve out 6-7 wins and shock a lot of folks. Now I've completely changed my tune and I'm thinking if they could get 2 wins and he stays healthy, that's a massive win at this point. And he's given flashes, and he's shown that arm strength, but, you know, he's not getting any help. and that's making it difficult. And this is going to be a long road to hoe for the New York Jets and for Zach Wilson. So it's going to be tough sledding ahead.
So through three games, these are his stats, Mitch. He's at a 55.2% completion rate. He's thrown for just over 600 yards. Only two touchdowns came in the opener, and then he's got seven interceptions and a fumble. His QBR is 22.6. And, you know, we've seen all these rookie quarterbacks in the NFL season so far have bad starts. I mean, Trevor Lawrence isn't lighting up the world. Justin Fields had, my gosh, what a terrible outing he had in his first start a week ago. And it's tough to be a rookie in the NFL, right? It's hard to win football games at that level. But I look at these numbers, and I didn't expect Zach to be at a 2-7 touchdown interception ratio at this point. I thought he'd be more at a, you know, 50-50. He's going to have five interceptions, five touchdowns kind of a thing at this point in the season. I was expecting them to be like a 1-2 team at this point in time. But do you think that there's promise in what you've seen from Zach so far? Like, I mean, he had that good week one, or I guess the second half of week one, that is. But these last two performances, I just haven't seen a lot where I'm like, is Zach just, you know, is he going to have to just maintain that confident, you know, nature that he has to be able to ride this out until they get things rolling year two, year three?
Yeah, I think it is that case, Kyle, where I think the confidence is going to have to win the day, because on the field, I don't think there's been much to write home about with Zach Wilson. Like, yes, arm talent, he makes some good throws. Once in a while, you see that strength, but more times than not, it's going to be a lot of miscues, I think, going forward for Zach. I think the most notable thing is no one's turning on him. You know, you've seen in other heralded rookie quarterbacks over the years, you go back to like guys like Ryan Leaf, instantly guys were turning on those hotshot quarterbacks, and you're thinking, okay, this is, goes beyond just simply the field of play and simply a loss. You know, losses can happen. The Jets are used to that. It's more a matter of turning this guy into the face of your program and making him the leader, the guy that's going to lead them to glory eventually. No one thought it was going to be, you know, changed overnight. I thought there'd be a little more success than there'd been. But I think that's kind of the more notable thing is off the field. You're not seeing Jets players give up on him. Zach's not getting rattled by the New York media. And there's sometimes the New York media is asking him some questions that's kind of baiting him into some answers. And I think he's handling it like a pro. And I think that's where, you know, he's going to be able to flourish still. And I think that there's still that excitement about him, because if he was folding to that stuff, that's when you're going, okay, is this guy a bust? And that's not happening right now. So I think there's still a lot of to be excited about, despite some of the struggles on the field.
All right, so we talked about his protection issues. They've got some receivers that I think are talented. Like Corey Davis, I think, is a decent wideout. I don't know if he's a number one option in the NFL, but, I mean, they're going to have to continue to add pieces, and they have draft capital to be able to do so in the future. But I think that winning would really help this team. Like, if they could just get a win, right, like, it would help build some of that confidence with his teammates. Hey, like, we've seen the talent off the field and the games and practice and whatnot. But I look at these next few games, Mitch. I just want to get your take here. Like, in the next month or five games, let's go five games because they play the Bills in mid-November. But let's look at the next five games. Do you see a win here for the Jets and Zach Wilson? They've got the Titans this week, and they've got the Falcons at the Patriots. First the Bengals, and then at the 0-3 Colts. You see a win there at all?
No, honestly, I don't. Because I think the Jets are just that bad. I think maybe you could get one with the Colts being a winless team right now. That could be a win in these upcoming games. But no, I don't see a win. There's been nothing from the Jets so far that lends itself to thinking they're going to win some games at this level. I mean, that's been so unusual, too, that, you know, and I like the approach they're taking, the Jets, with how it's this huge youth movement. You see it a lot in the NBA, but you don't see it very often in the NFL, where, like, all these rookies are kind of coming together to form this nucleus. And then you lose Mekhi Becton, and you lose Lawson, and then the preseason. It's just like, you know, that's also been tough losses for for the Jets. And, you know, then it falls to the shoulders of guys like Zach Wilson, who is the number two overall pick. So, no, I just think they're so young. I mean, new head coach, new GM. I mean, everything is new with the Jets. They're in their first year. We've seen it from a local standpoint with college football, how there's just growing pains whenever you're in a new role that you're just not used to. And I think with the Jets having just so many decades of struggles, you pair that with this newness that's there, it's going to be tough to come up with a win. If they can get to two wins this year, Kyle, that'd be quite the accomplishment.
Wanted to get your touch on a few of these other local BYU guys, former BYU guys in the NFL, Mitch. You've got a few guys here who have changed teams or have risen up the ranks through practice squads onto active rosters. And I want to start there with Tyson Williams. We only saw him at BYU for four games before he went out with a season-ending injury, but we saw flashes of brilliance from him in those four games. And over the last couple of seasons, he's risen up in the Baltimore Ravens organization. And he was a starter week one for them after all of these injuries. And he ended up getting a touchdown there, which was really cool to see. Do you think that Tyson has proven himself through the first 3 weeks of the season? I mean, they've added some running backs off of these. You know, they've added Latavius Murray off of waivers. They've added Le'Veon Bell to their practice squad. So they've brought in extra talent due to these injuries. But I think that Tyson's proven himself that he can be a secondary back in the NFL. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's more an RB2. I'm driving up here to Logan right now with the Tyson Williams fan club driver, Dallin Graff. He was all in on Tyson from the jump. And, yeah, Tyson's a special talent. He really is. But I think that what always just hurts him, I think, and this goes for any guy that's just undrafted, is there's nothing at stake with them. And I think the teams will always kind of look for that upgrade because you're not – unless you're just out of this world – awesome, like you become a pro bowler, an all pro type talent, you're always going to be kind of expendable. And I hope that, you know, it continues to work out and he really solidifies himself this season. He continues, he stays healthy and gets those opportunities. You know, he could be, you know, I think an RB1. He's got that potential, but I think most likely he's more of an RB2 guy just because that there's never been that draft capital invested into him. And it seems like that always tends to win the day in the NFL, where guys that were the highly rated draft picks, there's always those stories of undrafted guys, but more times than not, if you want to talk about individuals that are going to stick and get second and third chances to succeed, those are the guys that usually get it. The undrafted guys, you slip up or have one bad game or you put the football on the deck, you could be on the waiver wire instantly. So, just tough road to go for a guy like Tyson Williams, but his story's been awesome to see him get this chance because 2 years ago, I don't think anyone saw this happening.
Another former BYU running back is Jamal Williams. He's now with the Detroit Lions after spending the first four seasons of his career with
and
the Green Bay Packers.
How awesome is Jamal Williams' show, Jamal That?
So
that
I'm
is my
ask
favorite
you about
thing.
That because you put a piece up on KSLSports.com the other day about this web version show that he's got, this YouTube kind of a thing, and that's like perfect for Jamal, right? Like Jamal is like the TikToker, the YouTuber of the NFL. He's the perfect fit for that kind of a thing, right? And like, I mean, you put up the story on it, Mitch. Like, what did you catch out of that? I mean, I know he mentioned Kalani Sitake, BYU head coach.
Well, I caught that he's a huge cosplay guy. Like, I knew he was into anime when he was at BYU, but I didn't realize how deep the cosplay runs for the swag daddy, J-Man the Chinaman, Jamal Williams. Love that dude. You know, I took for granted those media availabilities, those chances to catch up with Jamal Williams. I was kind of a young, nervous media member, kind of cutting my teeth in the media ranks. And now I look back and I go, man, that guy would have been perfect in like the TikTok age. Do like a TikTok with Jamal Williams. That would have been awesome. It's been beautiful content.
Yeah, I mean, Jamal is an NFL content machine. The Detroit Lions have figured that out, and they're embracing it. But I love the fact that, like, anytime they put out a video about him, like the NFL Twitter account or, you know, their social media team, like, they immediately pick it up. They're like, oh, yeah, Jamal said something else, you know, like, They're immediately on top of that, and I love it. Last BYU guy I wanted to talk to you about, Mitch, is Taysom Hill. So Taysom, all offseason, you know, they're talking about how Tim or Jameis Winston, they're going to be the guys battling out to take over for Drew Brees in New Orleans, and they signed him into that bogus contract where $100 million, whatever, non-guaranteed. You saw some writing on the wall, right? Like, I mean, I personally didn't think that he was going to win the job, but I also looked at the fact that he was given the opportunity to start a few games last season, and I thought he played pretty well in those games. I mean, they went 3-1 in that stretch, if I'm not mistaken, and he's kind of gone back to this Swiss Army knife role, this, you know, gadget player, if you want to call him that. But Jameis Winston hasn't, you know, been anything to write home about other than week one, where the Packers just, they didn't even look like the Packers, right? I mean, Jameis Winston was throwing 5 touchdowns in that game, but he also didn't throw for a ton of yards. It was just, you know, they happened to, you know, hit on those certain plays. But I think that you look at the fact that, like, Jameis, he's had this up and down career, but he's also had this up and down stretch with the Saints so far through 3 weeks. Is it too early for the Saints to, like, hey, maybe it's Taysom time? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like it's too early, because I think Taysom is as talented as Jameis. I think that he could be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but, you know, you got to also factor in the locker room. You know, like, Jameis has won over some guys. I mean, there's always going to be, whenever there's a quarterback debate, there's going to be some guys that maybe, you know, they side with one guy and then another group sides with another. But once you go 3-4 weeks and you ride with that guy and suddenly make that change, I mean, that's tough to just suddenly do that. Now, Taysom showed in that win over the Patriots how versatile he can be. It's just a bummer that he has to go back to that F position role, that do it all flex, you know, twist role. That's why there was much excitement for him this year, because he could be a great quarterback. I think that this, the stigma around him will be this flex position role, and hopefully that can get broken and he can go on to be a starting quarterback. But I feel like that might be over now. I just feel like the thought of him being a starting QB, it seems like that ship is sailing. I mean, who's going to want a guy in their 30s? I know that Tom Brady and Brees, they did it till in their 40s, but those guys are also draft picks, and they were guys that franchises believed in at a very young age, and they've had the luxury to be able to do that for 2 decades, where you don't know of many guys that just start turning it up at the age of 30. I mean, Steve Young, what was he when he went to the 49ers and he got his first chance? I mean, he was close to that, but again, like, he was once the number one overall pick in the supplemental draft. So I just think Taysom's opportunity and window might be done. I just don't see where the opportunity is. Maybe the Texans, but why are they going to make a move for him? They've got Davis Mills. They're going to try to see what they got there and develop that. I think it's going to be tough for Taysom, and maybe he's got to embrace that role, or otherwise go to Wall Street, make probably more money than he can make in the NFL. It's a nice life that Taysom has set himself up for. He and his wife, they're going to be well-to-do regardless. And, hey, no better guy to get that. Taysom Hill's a heck of an individual, so I wish nothing but the best for him.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have compared Taysom to, like, a better version of Tim Tebow in the NFL, right? Like, Taysom throws a better ball than Tim Tebow does, but they also do
that
gadget role, the Swiss Army knife stuff. Like, I mean, if Tim Tebow wanted to be in the NFL for the last 8 years, he could have been. He just couldn't have been a quarterback. Like, they could have made him a running back. They could have, you know, made him a tight end, something that it's hard to be out of football like Tim Tebow was and then come back, you know, 8 years later or whatever it was, and then try and all of a sudden be an NFL player again. It just doesn't work like that. But I do think that Taysom Hill, like you said, like, if he could embrace that role, I think that he could be in the NFL for another 5-6 years easily, because he's super talented. And I mean, when he breaks loose on a run, like, he's so fast still. He can outrun linebackers, and it's really just a shame that we haven't really got a chance to see him, you know, really as that QB1, because I think that he would have been successful in it. I don't know if he's a top 10 quarterback, top 15 quarterback in the NFL, but I do think that they could have won games with him like we saw a season ago. But, Mitch, before I set you loose, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about your 3-0 Las Vegas Raiders, the silver and black. They're 3-0, Mitch, through three games. They've got wins over the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Dolphins. Now, the Steelers aren't anything awesome this year, but the Ravens and the Dolphins are pretty good teams. What do you think about the Raiders' 3-0 start so far?
Yeah, it's I'm stunned, to be quite honest with you, because I was in the camp of unload anything and everything for Aaron Rodgers. Get rid of Carr, get rid of every asset known to man. I was ready to do that. If I was you know, Davis and Gruden, I would have made that deal happen in a heartbeat. But yeah, you know, like I think the Raiders, I think it also shows too what value it brings when you are part of an organization now that's not this misfit stepchild in the NFL. Like the Raiders were, when they were in Oakland, they were just a broken down poverty franchise. Like, I know that's kind of a cliche term, and social media, you'll see like on a Woj response, like poverty franchise. My wife left me. Like, you know, like the Raiders were like that poverty franchise. That's what they were in Oakland. And now in Vegas, they're prime time. They got awesome facilities. They got Allegiant Stadium. They got the Intermountain Health Center. They just got state-of-the-art everywhere you look. And I think that's playing a part where they're playing better than maybe, you know, you would have expected from this Raiders team. I mean, to think that they're tied for first in the division and the Chiefs and the AFC West are dead last, nuts. So, yeah, I mean – good times for the Raiders right now. How long will this last? Who knows? But, I mean, the precedent, though, is like the last time they did this was in 2002. They were in Oakland. They went to the Super Bowl. And then prior to that, I think it was 91, they were in L.A. when they started out 3-0. So last three times they've gone 3-0, three different states, three different cities, three different markets. And both times got very far in the playoffs. The Raiders in 91 got, like, to the AFC Championship game, if memory serves me right. So, yeah, it's good times right now for the silver and black and the black hole right now.
Yeah, and they've got a primetime matchup coming up on Monday night. Monday night football is against the L.A. Chargers. I think that's going to be an awesome game on Monday the 4th at 6:15 on ESPN. You've got the Chargers coming off that win over the Chiefs, big win on the road there. And, I mean, if Derek Carr can keep dishing the ball around like he – I mean, that's the thing that's impressive to me is they don't have, like – he's not just like going to Henry Ruggs every single time, right? Like it's not like a Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams situation where it's just like find Devontae. It's like he's spreading the ball around to everybody. It's really impressive to see what they've been able to do on offense, and their defense is coming along as well. But you can catch Mitch on Twitter. You can follow him. I know BYU fans are listening. They want to hear about these NFL guys, but you can follow Mitch on Twitter @Mitch_Harper. He's tweeting about BYU. He's going to be tweeting about this BYU-Utah State game if the Cougars are 5-0 after that. And then also, I'm sure that you'll catch Mitch with the occasional Raider tweet, especially if they pick up another win here on Monday Night Football. But, Mitch, we appreciate your time here on the podcast, and we'll have you on again soon. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem, Kyle. It's always a pleasure, and I'll catch you again soon.